people who are sinful, that while we were still sinful, Christ died for us, that God loves us that much, that he tells us that there is nothing on this earth that will ever be able to separate us from his great love. Nothing. He also comes to us and he says that if you really want to follow me, you have to deny yourself. You have to pick up a cross. You have to lose your life so you can find it. And the power of his words, which are his in the gospel, they don't really add up in the way we do life. Our goal of this series is to be more like Jesus. We've been around the revolution wheel. We want to continue to have you go through that. And if you remember, it was follow me, serve with me, learn from me, become like me. No matter where you step into those first four quadrants of that wheel, and there's still more, we really have to understand that why Jesus speaks what he speaks is not to make our life heavy, but to bring true joy. One thing that is empowering me as I think about getting on a plane and flying to Kenya, whether I go to Kenya or go to Guatemala or our teams that go to Honduras, one thing we all come back with the same identifier, that we're with people who are poor, who don't have much. And the one thing we see all the time is in the midst of them, they have true joy. They figured it out somehow. And maybe we are just so much of people who have too much or a society that wants to be too much. I don't know. But today, if I could ask you to just step away from the madness of life and let Jesus speak into our life, and then through the life of Peter, as he gets it right and then stumbles and bumbles a little bit, maybe we'll learn how to get it right, even though we'll stumble and mumble too. But that God might truly lead us to pick up our cross, deny ourselves and follow him, lose our life and gain the new identifier. We are children of God. Let's pray over this moment and then dive in. Lord God, guide us in your presence this morning. As we had ash put on our forehead at the beginning of this 40-day adventure to the cross where you die, to recount what happened long ago for us that happens daily in our lives, renewal of our souls, we give thanks. Help us to identify ourselves more fully with you today. Guide and direct our lives to be the best that we can be. You created us in your image to do good works. Let us claim that this morning and go renewed and re-identified as we leave this place. We give thanks in the strong, guiding name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I've had three moments in my life that are just miraculous moments. Many more, but three that I want to identify for you this morning. And they happened, one a little over 31 years ago, another a little over 28 years ago, and another almost 27 years ago. And it was in a birthing room of a hospital as I watched our three kids be born. And I also watched my wife struggle. Women, I get it. I do. May God bring blessings on every woman who bears a child, because I'll tell you, it's not all joy. There's a lot of struggle that takes place. Can I hear an amen from women out there? Thank you. So along the way, if you think about it, babies are beautiful, aren't they? I'm looking over here, Josh, you holding your daughter and the joy of that moment. Beauty, baby! But Josh, there was a time I saw your eyes were filled with bags under them and maybe not getting enough sleep, right? You know, the birthing process is not this beautiful process that it's made out to. It's miraculous. It's beautiful in God's sight, but there's a lot of struggle that takes place. There's the baby that is God's gift into a family in a womb, nice and comfortable, receiving nutrients from the mother. Why would that child ever want to come out? I mean, it's safe. But that child has to go through this journey that we all went through at one time. We don't remember, but God does. And during that time, a lot of struggle happens. If you think about it, that baby in the soft sanctity of the womb has to come through the birth canal, and that's not an easy thing for mom or child. And as that first breath is taken, it's more like a first gasp for air. It's struggle. There's beauty, though. And all through life, that's what happens to us as we take next steps. Think about taking steps. Your daughter's going to learn to walk soon, and you better batten down the hatches. You better watch her as she takes those first steps, because she may fall. And that's what happens. We go through struggle to get to gain. And it'll happen in all phases of our lives. It happens while we're children. It's happening to you and me even today. As we struggle through life, there is gain. But we have to allow it to happen. Great pastor, if you want just a little aside to enjoy preaching at its best, connect on YouTube with Pastor Stephen Furtick. He is pastor of Elevation Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Get ready. You might want to strap yourself in with seatbelts to your chair. Have your cup of coffee before. Stephen puts the pedal to the metal, and he brings it. I love watching Stephen preach and listening to him. This week on Instagram, Stephen posted this: if you don't show up, you can't fall short. And if you don't fall short, you can't grow. No doubt about that in life. We don't just get all of the tools and all of a sudden we get to use them. We have to go through struggle to get to gain, but we have to allow it to happen. I like to hang on to that word, allow it to happen, for just a moment. Because I don't like struggle, and I guess you don't either. Some of it's forced on us. It comes out of the blue, and it doesn't feel good. But I do believe this, that when we reach any dimension of human struggle on this earth, whether it's in our growth process or whether it's in situations that happen and they just bombard us from out of left field and we didn't know how that happened, or whether we're the ones that keep the struggle motivated because we kind of are sick people who like to make that happen from time to time. Misery loves company. No one knows the problems I have. We sing that song well. No matter what it is, I want you to think about the gain of the one who struggled for you and me, Jesus. He dies on a cross so that we might have life. And God says, live it abundantly. Wow. That struggle, it covers us. It blankets us. That no matter what we will engage or endure on the face of this earth, God has us covered. And He'll guide us through our struggle to the other side. But I believe we have to allow it to happen. I'd like to take you back into the journey of Jesus that we went through this morning in Scripture. And we're just in one chapter in Matthew 16, learn a lot, that this journey can be difficult. The things Jesus says aren't always received the way they're supposed to be received, and Peter is right on center stage. So let's think about the ministry of Jesus for a moment. He begins by being baptized. Then he goes out and he is in the wilderness for 40 days with Satan. We heard about that a little bit last week. But he identifies with the Holy One, his Father in heaven, and he overcomes the temptation of Satan and then moves into his ministry. 3 years, the ministry of Jesus lasts. And over those times of ministry moments, he does some phenomenal things. He teaches. Ryan read a story from Luke's account of Jesus' life about the lost sheep. And so what happens is Jesus speaks, and many times they're very agrarian or out there in the agricultural environment of the day he is living in, but he does speak images that I think we can understand a little bit. And the images are earthly stories that point to heaven. They're known as parables. And Jesus has phenomenal stories of not only lost people who get found by God, but people like you and me who can take good seed of God and put it into our soil, which is good, and things will flourish and grow. Jesus teaches. He heals. The blind see. The lame walk. The deaf, they begin to not only be able to hear, but now they can speak. And Jesus performs miracles. Many miracles along the way. In Matthew's gospel too, that I just want to lift up for you today, they seem to be the identical story, but they're not. The first one is the feeding of 5,000 people. A little boy who has some loaves and fish for lunch. It's his lunch pail. Jesus takes that. They identify him, and he then blesses it and feeds 5,000. And you know, the end of the story, they have more. They could have fed for the entire week on what they had in the remainder left over. So if this wasn't just enough to drive that story home, Matthew later on, a couple chapters later, has Jesus feeding 4,000. It's not the same moment. And the same thing happens. 4,000 people get fed with just a little bit. Why does he do that? Maybe God knows us. Maybe he does. That we need reinforcement. That even seeing Jesus do a miracle once, maybe we need to see it twice or three times. Because we have this doubt quotient that just invades our soul. So along this way, great things are happening. People are starting to see that Jesus is someone special. And so early in the Gospel of Matthew in the 16th chapter, just prior to what I'd read a little bit ago for you, Jesus asks a question of his followers, the 12. Who do people say that I am? Maybe you remember Jesus speaking that question. And they come up with a few answers. Some out there say John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. And some say one of the prophets. But then Jesus kind of draws it into focal. He says, who do you say that I am? Peter steps up right away, and he like bullseyes the answer. He says, you are the Christ, or as some translations say, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, well done, Simon, son of Jonah. You did a great job. You got it right. And if that's all the story was all about, everything would be fine. But we learn rather quickly that Peter really didn't understand the answer that he was verbalizing. He could put it into words, but he really, I don't think, knew it deep in his heart, his mind, his soul. The reason why I feel that way is we read a little bit longer into Matthew 16, of which I read for you today. Jesus begins to share his journey to the cross with his followers. After they identify him as Messiah, the Son of the living God. And so it's one of three passion predictions that we hear in Matthew 16 that Matthew has in his gospel. And they're all pretty much alike. The Son of Man must suffer many things at the hands of the chief priests and the elders, the teachers of the law. He will be scourged. He will be killed. And he will, 3 days later, raise to new life. Now, Peter is probably trying to figure this out. All of a sudden, he says, well, wait a minute, you're the Messiah. That's not the way I saw things playing out. And so Peter, once again, becomes bold and tries to hit the center of the target again, but he misses the target altogether. Because what he says is, you can't do that, Jesus. You can't go to the cross and die. You're the Christ. You're the Messiah. I want you to be the God I want you to be, and you're telling me you're a different type of God. And Jesus takes him aside, and he says, you got it wrong. You're either for me or against me. He uses this phrase, get behind me, Satan. Really, he's not calling him Satan. He's just saying, you've allowed for thought, which is different than why I really came, to engage who you are. You allowed for your life to be taken down into a struggle over what life is really all about. Jesus identifies life then as he teaches. And he says, here's what it's all about. If you really want to follow me and be my disciple, You have to pick up your cross and follow me. You have to lose your life so you can gain it. And my guess is at that moment, Peter's head was swimming. He's trying to figure this out. Oh, wait a minute, you're the Christ, the Messiah. Take your earthly throne. Overwhelm Rome. Overwhelm the teachers of the religious order that is not taking us where we need to go. Bring the truths of your performing miracles and your teaching and all of the things that you've done to heal people. Bring it to fruition. And Jesus says, no, you got to pick up your cross. You have to lose your life. That's where you'll find it. And the struggle that ensues for Peter is what I want to focus on today. Because although we don't have the same struggle identically to what Peter went through, we have similar struggle. I believe that. I think we know Jesus is saying to us, the way to follow me is to deny yourself. Pick up your cross. Lose who you are and all of the things you've been doing which get in the way of our relationship and begin to build a new identity. I think we know that. But the reality is we don't really want to live that because the world we live in is saying a different thing and the voices in the world are really huge and strong. But Jesus, his voice is the truth. Peter gets lost in a struggle, and I think we do too. The struggle for us is we live in this world where so many other identifiers cling to us, but they cling to us like sin. And we need to expunge them. We need to lose them, as Jesus says, and we have to gain a new identity. It's hard to do. Because when struggle hits, just like it hit Peter, it's easy to check out. It's easy to say, that's not the way I see things running. This is how I'm going to live life. And Jesus wants us to move and allow for his overcoming sin and death to be our new identity. So there's a couple things I want to encourage you to do. As you take some steps into the week, the day to come, the week to come, weeks to come, your next chapter of life, consider how you might be willing to really listen to Jesus. Give up on the things that pull you down, all the struggles of life, and allow for a new identity to be yours. So the first thing I want to encourage you to do is accept struggle in your life. It's okay. I think they're all of us. I think Stephen Furtick put it right on target. You have to go through struggle to get gain. It's part of life. You grow through struggle. But remember this, struggle does not identify you. Whether it's a struggle that comes from outside that's overwhelming you right now. I prayed with a woman after church at 9:29 who lost her sister at age 37 years old. And she's struggling. And she feels like screaming at God. And I said, scream at him. He understands you. Don't give up on him. He knows the way and the truth and the life. Don't get caught up in a struggle, even when it comes from outside. And the other thing is don't be the one who multiplies struggle. Because everybody in this room has struggle on all these different levels and all these different things. And when you multiply it, worry. Have you ever worried about something? And then you worry about it some more, and then you worry about it some more. And pretty soon the worry is this big struggle hanging over you like a black cloud. You can't get rid of it. Identify a new way of dealing with struggle, accept it, and move to the other side. Learn. That's the kind of God that wants to challenge us this morning to be more like him. Did the cross overwhelm Jesus to the point where he was signed, sealed, delivered, gone? No! He conquered sin and death. He rose to new life. And that's our gift. But we have to trust that it's our gift, the same gift, when we go through earthly struggles. Accept struggle. It's okay. God will get you to the other side. Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy. Have you ever heard Jesus say this? It's okay, he says, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He doesn't say it's heavy. Picking up your cross and following me, getting this new identity isn't heavy. What's a yoke? This is one in a new millennial generation we have to translate. Oxen had yoke around their necks that connected them to the bridle and the reins of the person who was plowing the field. So you think it would be a heavy... Picture an oxen. I know it's hard. Picture an oxen with this big, heavy thing around. Picture yourself carrying like 250-pound weights on your shoulder through the day. And what Jesus says, don't worry about it. It's easy. What I'm asking you to do is easy. Tough for the oxen, easy for you. Know that my burden is easy. My yoke is light. And yet we don't get it because we get caught up in our struggles and they become pains in our life. And we don't know which way to turn. God does. He will direct you. Accept. Accept your challenge and your struggle. Second thing I want you to do then, as soon as you accept it and you get through it, reject your struggle. Reject it in the name of Jesus. Say, you know what? I know this isn't how you want me to live. I am going to get to the other side, and you're going to empower me to get there. The problem is we end up throwing a pity party for ourselves too often, don't we? When we struggle, it's the worry begets worry, and misery loves company, and you don't know the burdens I have, and so I just want to share them with you. If you've ever sat with someone and cried over something, and then you don't solve it, and you go away, and you cried, you had a good cry, but you didn't solve it, then you're in this zone. The other thing that can happen is you can be the multiplier of the struggle. Happens all the time. I don't like what's happening to me, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to fight back at you. Enter social media. I have my Facebook account. I have Twitter and Instagram, and I love when I can read things like Pastor Stephen Furtick posts, and it's really great. There are voices I listen to, but there are also a bunch of other voices I listen to. Leonard Sweet is one I love to hear from. He has been around the church for a long time. Professor of theology. He's a futurist, follower of Jesus. He posted this week, do some people really think they make the world more connected and open and whole by breaking it apart, ripping others down, and shouting each other's down? Good question. John Acuff, who's a wonderful author, he has some on the New York bestseller list. He wrote this, the problem with social media is that it gives people the chance to be the worst version of themselves, and then it rewards them with the attention of other people who are doing the same. What is it about these struggles? Now, there are many struggles out there in the world today, right? There are struggles within your own home, within your own personal relationship, at your job. There are struggles like Parkland, Florida. There are struggles that are huge and big. And the minute you start to swirl them up with your opinion, you have an opinion, so do I. But if the opinion does not find its way into the new identity of picking up your cross, denying yourself, and re-identifying yourself with Jesus, then it's only going to get you into trouble. Because you're going to hit at someone, and what are they going to do? Want to hit back. And the kingdom of God does not move forward. So here's what I want, people of God, reject your struggles. Step away from social media. You have an opinion and so do I. I can't tell you, when I've watched people in this church post things, I want to write back. But I don't. Because you know what will happen? A brouhaha will happen. We'll be like fighting on the floors of life, and that does not forward the kingdom of God. Give up on your struggle. Reject it. Accept it. Get through it. Reject it. And finally, identify it. And I think this is the most important. Struggle's going to come. It's a part of life. And Jesus or God did not promise us a rose garden here on this earth. Over and over again, from Genesis to Revelation, there are struggles. And it all points to the perfect place, heaven, where there are no more struggles. There will be no more weeping. You will sit at a banquet table, Isaiah says, of the richest food and the finest wine. And there God will suddenly remove the cloud of sorrow hanging over all of his people, for he will destroy death forever. And that's what life is all about. But we get so caught up. Poor me. Or I don't like what you just did. I'm going to get back at you. We make it about a political agenda instead of a God-blessed adventure. You are not individuals with opinions. You are children of God with one mindset and one mindset only, that you are redeemed and you don't deserve to be redeemed, neither do I. But we are made new. Claim it. You will find true joy. So I don't know. After I accept and reject and identify, I have to go back into my life, and you do too. And you're struggling just like I am. I am sure that there are people in this room this morning struggling in their families. And maybe it's your marital relationship. Maybe it's with your kids. Possibly there's some of you struggling at work. You see on the horizon of 2018 that your job is very fragile and you are concerned about where the future is going to come. Maybe you're thinking about your health. The one thing that I realize is the older we get, sometimes your health is more at risk. But it also happens, as I prayed with that woman today, as I said, all of a sudden, a 37-year-old mom is no longer in the face of this earth. I mean, there's struggles all over the place. But go back to Romans 8 with me. I mentioned it already. Nothing is able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Go back and claim the identity that Jesus shares in Matthew 16 after Peter was like struggling to figure out, who are you, God? You are the Christ who asked me to pick up my cross, deny who I am, lose myself, and become something new. And I know the best thing that we all could do when we leave this room this morning is to go out of these doors and be people filled with joy, not hatred or opinions or burdens, but give those over to the one who struggled for us for all of eternity, giving his life over to death on the cross. I know this is hard to do because we're human beings who want to gravitate to struggle. We don't like living in struggle, but we gravitate to it. God knows that about us, and he wants to re-identify us. But you have to allow it to happen. You have to claim this moment that Jesus sets out in Scripture as a pathway for us all to walk, that we will lose ourselves, the old self, the self that's so concerned with pain and problems and troubles, the self that doesn't like another person because they don't think like we do, and we can re-identify who we are, and we can live life filled with great joy, God's joy. Last week, Pastor Glenn led us in a first step of something called the examine. If you were here with us, you had some time to talk about becoming aware of God's presence. We're going to take a step every week. This is an ancient tool. St. Ignatius came up with this. The second piece of the examine, you can do this at home. So begin your day, become aware of God's presence, and then here's the one we're going to do together in a couple of moments. Review the day with gratitude. Now, I know you're just beginning your day, so maybe review your past couple days with gratitude. It says, gratitude is the foundation of our relationship with God. Walk through your day in the presence of God and note its joys and delights. Focus on the gifts you received. Look at the work you did, the people you interacted with. What did you receive from these people? What did you give to them? Pay attention to the small things, the food you ate, the sights you saw, the other seemingly small pleasures. God's in the details. If you noted, I didn't say anything about struggle. I didn't say anything about getting back at another person. I didn't say about focusing on that because that'll take you down. It'll weigh you heavy. God's burden's easy. His yoke is light. And he will lead and guide us to lose ourselves and find a new identity. Focus on that as we review the days gone by with gratitude.